Please open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 is where we'll begin this morning. It's good to see everyone. As has already been acknowledged, we have a lot of guests with us today. We are thankful for your presence, your interest in spiritual things that brings you to be a part of our assembly. And it is a particular encouragement because we have so many of our local church family who isn't here. One entire and extended family is out of town for a wedding in the family. And so we want to remember the entire Wilson clan as they travel. We pray for their safety. But we're thankful again for the guests that are here, the way that you help fill our building and encourage us. And we hope that we are an encouragement to you as well. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 7. Two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I may not be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or that I may not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. In this passage, there is highlighted a very real danger. None of us want to be hungry. None of us want to be in need. But there is a danger, the wise man writes, of riches, of being full, of having all of our wants and perhaps more fulfilled so that we might think ourselves self-sufficient, self-made, or not needing the Lord. Denying the one who has indeed provided our blessings, denying God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. There is a danger in wealth because it often breeds complacency, and with complacency often follows faithlessness. It is precisely that warning that Moses sounded to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. You might open with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy is a series of farewell speeches given by Moses on the plains of Moab. That is, Moses had led them for nearly 40 years from their escape from Egyptian captivity, their crossing of the Red Sea, all of the events at Mount Sinai, and all of the years of wandering in the wilderness. But because of the sin that he and Aaron had previously committed, the Lord was only permitting Moses to lead the children of Israel to the eastern side of the Jordan River, to the plains of Moab. And from there, he could look across the River Jordan and see the promised land, but he himself was forbidden from leading the children of Israel into that promised land of Canaan. But through Moses, the Lord had something yet to accomplish, and that was a reminder of this new generation of Israelites. Another telling or second giving of the law, a review of their history and prescribing for them the ordinances that were to govern them as they made their way into the promised land. But among the messages that Moses gave on this occasion is this warning that sounds a lot like the warning of Proverbs we just read. The children of Israel had been abundantly blessed. God had delivered them from their Egyptian captivity. He had led them in the wilderness, during which time they received water out of rocks, manna and quail from heaven, during which time their feet did not swell, their clothes did not wear out. And even now, even before they enter into the promised land and take that land, God is already giving them victory over their enemies in Moab and Midian and the like. They're poised to receive even more blessings once they cross the River Jordan and into the land of Canaan. And in light of all of those blessings they have received, And all of those blessings they look forward to receiving. Moses sounds this warning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. Great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. And again, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, these warnings are echoed again. In Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. He goes on to say in this passage, when you go in and you enjoy all of the fruit of the land, when you enjoy all of these blessings, don't become arrogant and think that it is by your own strength that you've accomplished all of these things. It's the Lord. Don't forget him. Otherwise, God warns, I'll dispossess you from the land just as I am dispossessing the nations who abide in it currently. They were poised to receive blessings, and they were warned about those blessings. They were warned not to become complacent and subsequently faithless. While Moses' leadership was faithful and his admonitions sound, as we've already said, he wasn't going to be leading the children of Israel into Canaan. That responsibility fell on Moses' protege, Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, as the Lord equips Joshua and commissions his leadership, in Joshua chapter 1, there is a message the Lord gives to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, read with me beginning in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so Joshua commanded the officers of the people, verse 10 beginning, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. What's the Lord's message to Joshua and subsequently Joshua to the people? It is a twofold message. Do not neglect the word of the Lord. A lot changes from generation to generation. 40 years have passed since the days of the Exodus. They've received manna and quail from heaven, water from rocks. They've wandered in the wilderness. They've built the tabernacle at Mount Sinai. They've instituted the priesthood. All of these things have happened. But nevertheless, don't neglect the word of the Lord. You've heard it throughout all of these years. And if you are going to continue to receive the blessings of the Lord, if you are going to continue to be His people, if you are going to inherit all that God intends for you to inherit, don't neglect the word of the Lord. And secondly, this, the battle is not over. You're just getting started. Yes, you have encountered some military opposition on the plains of Moab. Yes, you've been victorious over some of the nations who have resisted your journey. But the battle isn't over. There's still work to do. And specifically to the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh who asked for their inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan River, you've still got work to do. Yes, God's blessing you, but you don't get to just sit back and relax while everyone else goes and fights. There's a battle that still needs to be won. Don't neglect the word of the Lord. And the battle isn't over. And as Joshua came to the end of his life, Joshua chapters 23 and 24... as he prepared the children of Israel for his death and the next generation of leadership, this message was echoed even then. In Joshua chapter 23, as Joshua convened with the elders of the children of Israel, in Joshua 23, notice beginning in verse 6, "Be very firm then, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations. These which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day." And then to the nation as a whole, chapter 24, beginning in verse 13, Joshua shares with you these words of the Lord. "I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth." And verse 23, Joshua said to the people, "Now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Joshua's message at the beginning and at the end of his leadership was the same. Don't neglect the word of the Lord, and the battle isn't over. There are still the Lord's enemies to be conquered for the good of His people. But the danger of which Moses and Joshua spoke is a danger not merely confined to circumstances of material ease, but the danger of spiritual wealth also poses the danger of spiritual complacency, and subsequently faithlessness. That warning is the warning of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is on the final leg, the Jerusalem leg, if you will, of his third preaching journey. He has been to various cities and spent 3 years as a part of that third journey in the city of Ephesus. But now, he's making his way back to the city of Jerusalem, endeavoring to get there by Pentecost. And in his haste, rather than taking a northward detour back to the city of Ephesus, landing in Miletus, just to the south, he calls for the Ephesian elders, the elders from the church at Ephesus, to come down to Miletus and meet him. And there he warns them. In this context, not about their physical wealth, but about their spiritual wealth. They had been abundantly blessed. Paul had initially come to Ephesus and found a few disciples, apparently having been taught by Apollos. He'd met with them in the synagogue and then later for 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. During that time, miracles had been performed. Many more had been converted to the Lord. Opposition had been faced and overcome. A firm foundation had been established among the saints in the city of Ephesus. But they were warned in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, not to take for granted the spiritual blessings they enjoyed. And so Paul says to these elders in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. The Apostle Paul warned of the danger of spiritual complacency, of taking their blessings for granted, and of letting down their guard. There were savage wolves from without, threats outside of the local church, who would attempt to make their way in among the Christians and threaten the sheep of that fold. But there were also dangers from within, from among your own selves, men who would arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. The Apostle Paul's message to these elders was exactly the same message that Moses and Joshua had sounded in generations past. The battle is not over. Just because Paul had done his work there, spent 3 years among them, so much good accomplished, people converted to the Lord, souls strengthened, elders appointed, so much good accomplished in the local church at Ephesus, didn't mean that they could sit back, take their ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The battle was never over. There were souls still in danger, and he challenges these elders to fight for those souls. There are those outside of the local church and those inside of the local church who will be a threat, and they could not let down their guard. And in that process, they needed never neglect the word of the Lord. Look at verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. There is the antidote. There's the answer. That's how these could do the work that God was giving them to do. The battle was not over. And they needed to remain committed to the word of the Lord. The danger of which Paul spoke was not one confined to first century Christians, but it is one that is equally pressing now. And so today I want to sound that same warning to us. To us as a local church here at Carriage Drive in Beckley, West Virginia. There is no doubt that we are abundantly blessed as a local church of God's people. Over the course of the last couple of years, we've enjoyed a period of tremendous peace and stability without any major upheavals or disturbances in the work of the local church. And over the course of the last year, we have fought for one another and banded together, maintained a sense of peace and unity and harmony as we have navigated some very difficult and even unprecedented circumstances. As I've mentioned to you before, sadly, there are local churches that have been torn apart, that have been divided, that have been stressed to the breaking point over issues of masks and social distancing and when to assemble in person and when not. That's pitiful. Sad. I'm so thankful that that has not happened here. Our elders have led and you have followed, even when there have been differences of judgment and preferences. It has never reached the point of disunity or division. We've lately been blessed with a number of guests, not only those who are traveling through our area, but those who've come from our community. We've seen those who have obeyed the gospel, and we're getting more opportunities like that to interact with those who are seeking the truth of the Bible. We've been abundantly blessed, and for all of that, we must not ever forget to give thanks to the Lord. And similarly, individually and as our individual families, we've been blessed in many ways that I wouldn't attempt to enumerate from the pulpit. And again, we must give thanks. But in all of that, not to rain on our parade, not to crush a spirit, not to in any way rob the joy that comes from all of that, there is a warning that needs to be sounded. Because as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. He is a roaring lion prowling about seeking those whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He desires, as he did with the Apostle Peter, Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 31, to sift us like wheat. He wants to do that to you and your faith. He wants to do that to your family. He wants to do that to this local church. He wants to shake us up and see if we might break. And so what is the warning? What is the message we would sound today? It is the same message of Moses and Joshua and the Apostle Paul. It is that message that rings from the pages of Bible history. The battle is not over. Because if we think it is, Satan has won. I promise you, he doesn't think it's over. He is fighting for your soul, for the souls of your family, for the souls of this local church, every moment of every day. He's not waved the white flag. He's not taking a break. He's not resting on his laurels. The battle is not over. Yes, we have enjoyed a period of peace and unity and a work that is encouraging, for which we are incredibly thankful. But we cannot take that for granted. We cannot assume that just because things are good, they will always be good. We must put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Individually, in our families, and as a local church. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against an enemy which can always be seen, which fights under a banner declaring its allegiance. But we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realm. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. And the easiest way to lose is to act as if we're not in the battle. Battle is not over. And we must not neglect the word of the Lord. This was Paul's closing admonition in his first letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. We must not rest on what we think we already know about the Bible. We must not placate our conscience by assuming that we're strong enough. We need to spend time in the Word of the Lord individually and collectively so that we can successfully, efficiently wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, because the battle isn't over. Be on guard. Be on the alert. I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Have you given attention to the word of His grace? The gospel that tells of salvation available in Jesus Christ. The gospel that is God's power unto salvation. The gospel that challenges you to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Commit to Him, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It is the word of His grace. It builds you up. It will give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Have you submitted to it? If you're a Christian who's not lived like it, would you commend yourself, commit yourself again to God and to follow the word of His grace that you might have the inheritance among the sanctified? If we can help you in any way in your obedience to the gospel or making your life right as a child of God, we encourage you to respond. Come to the front as we stand and sing for your encouragement today.